Lesson in congregational singing this evening. We're going to be thinking about singing in unison as opposed to singing in harmony. And you have carried with you into the sanctuary this evening this ancient Christian hymn, one of the most ancient hymns that we have. And it's really designed to be sung in unison, and it would originally have been sung in unison, not to this music, of course, but we have always sung it in unison. So we're going to begin our evening service with this magnificent hymn to God for evening worship. One of the earliest Christian hymns we have is a hymn for the beginning of evening worship. Now, you'll notice that dynamic markings have been added to the text and the score. You'll see that the F, the forte, gets us off at the beginning, singing strongly. But then you'll notice in the next line we revert to piano, soft, and we continue that the line following, forte again. You'll probably appreciate that we don't just jump from the one to the other, but we gradually move from the one to the other at ends of lines. We have mezzo forte, forte, and then fortissimo, the loudest singing of all, for the last line of the score and the text. So take note of those dynamic markings, obey them as we sing together, Hail Gladdening Light.
Last Lord's Day, we learned the first line of the hymn, Man of Sorrows, What a Name. This evening, we're going to complete that good work that we started last week. So, Mr. Roberts, if you would join us. Mr. Bechtel, are you going to play the bass line for us? I'd like everyone to sing the bass line, but let's hear the first line first. Everyone sing that? And the next line? All right, let's everybody try that one. Everybody together, the bass line from beginning to the end. Man of Ladies and children, will you sing the melody while the men sing the bass line? Here we go. Let's hear the tenor line. Tenors, sing that. That should sound a little familiar, hopefully. Here we go. going on? Sing that second line, tenors. Can we try a three parts? Basses, tenors, children, and sopranos? Part missing, so can we hear the alto line? Altos? Second line, altos. All right, let's try all four parts. You can get us started, but we're not going to cheat by using you. Yes, you get to sing. Ready? First verse. Very good. Congregational singing is about as flexible as an ocean liner. And we are very soon going to sing five verses a cappella without Mr. Bechtel pushing us forward, right? If you don't continue to push yourself forward, this will take an hour. And I don't have an hour. Okay. So one of the things that happens when you lose the accompaniment is that you hesitate just for a brief moment to wait to hear that note, and that hesitation begins to multiply exponentially, right? And I know you've heard it, right? When we sing the last hymn in an evening and the last verse is a cappella, it slows down immediately, right? So you have five verses here, okay? Keep pushing it forward. The other thing is I did put dynamic markings here. And I, if you have trouble remembering which is loud and which is soft, I want you to, you may not know that the full name of the piano is pianoforte, which is soft loud. And the reason it's called a pianoforte is because it was the first keyboard instrument that could actually play dynamics. The mechanism of a hammer and how fast you hit that key makes a difference about how loud it is. Prior to that, it was a harpsichord that plucked, and that was the same dynamic every time. So we're going to start softly, mezzo piano, and then the third and fourth verses, mezzo forte, and then the fifth verse in unison, so we can, with one voice, together as one congregation, proclaim the truth of the words that we're singing. All right, so start softly, build to loud, fifth verse in unison.
right, that was all review from last time. We've encouraged you to sing in four-part harmony and to learn how to do so if you can't yet, or you're not yet able to sing the alto, tenor, or bass line. We're working on that. We said last time there were good reasons for a congregation to sing in harmony. It makes for beautiful singing, and Christian worship ought to be as beautiful as we can make it, to the glory of God. But it also powerfully expresses an extraordinarily important reality in life, and especially in life in the kingdom of God, how unity is achieved through a God-created diversity. A single complex sound, the more beautiful for its complexity, is created by the combination of different voices singing different notes that nevertheless agree beautifully with one another. But not all hymns are sung or are to be sung in harmony. Unison singing has been, from the beginning, an important vehicle of Christian praise. Hebrew psalms were probably chanted, at least in many cases, and chanting is typically in unison, all voices on the same note at the same time. Later, the early Christian hymns and Gregorian chants were likewise sung in unison. Plain song, another name for the Gregorian chant, is by definition monophonic. That is, it has but one note to sing at a time. Gregorian chant was intended to educate its participants theologically, to arouse devotion in the soul through the purity and the simplicity of its expression. We'll sing tonight the hymn of the Father's Love Begotten, a text set to plain song music. You'll see when we turn it up that it lacks the familiar four-part score. It's interesting, by the way, that most of the singing being done in the American Evangelical Church today is unison singing. At our most recent presbytery meeting just this last week, we sang everything in unison, even hymns, with very well-known four-part harmony. It's the modern style, with singers in the front singing melody only into the microphones. I'm not exactly sure what advocates of this music would say is the reason for their concentration on unison singing. However, a congregation, they may very well say that they don't believe congregations can any longer sing in harmony. And unison is necessary for accessibility on the congregation's part. However, a congregation that can't sing in harmony can't sing very well in unison either. Getting the right note is as important in the one as it is in the other. I read several articles this week that recommended unison singing primarily as an improvement over bad singing in harmony. But of course, those are poor reasons to sing in unison, either because it doesn't sound as bad as your effort to sing in harmony, or because it's easier and requires less of the congregation. Harmony may be harder to do well, but then worship is worth our best, and our best always requires education and practice and preparation. But there are actually some very good reasons to sing in unison, besides the fact that some of our hymns were written to be sung in that way and were set to monophonic music. It is the most ancient form of Christian praise, so far as we know. So in singing that way, we join ourselves to the Christian ages. Obviously, it is another form, if a different form, of unity in our sung praise. The entire congregation singing the same note at the same time. When used as a contrast to harmony in the same hymn, as we just did, it can make or have a powerful effect, concentrating our attention in a new way on the text and altering the mood. It is easier to sing in unison, and for some in the congregation, it helps that everybody is singing the one note that he or she knows how to sing or is learning to sing. Christians learn a hymn much more quickly when they sing it in unison. Think about it. Even altos, tenors, and basses know the hymns we sing by the melody or the soprano line, and probably couldn't sing the bass or the tenor or the alto if the melody line were not being sung at the same time. And finally, it's another form of congregational singing, and adding variety adds spice to worship as it adds spice to life. We both stand to pray and kneel to pray. We pray by saying amen to a prayer offered by someone else, and we pray together by reciting a prayer, the text of which is before us in the order of service. In other words, we are alert to the dulling power of sameness, which is another reason for a congregation to sing in both harmony and unison. So, 162. We finish with a great doxology, so we'll stand to sing the hymn. I'm sorry, Mr. Bechtel, I meant to say, we're going to sing verses 1 through 4, mezzo piano. We're going to sing verse 5, fortissimo.